Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Xander Krause. That's my co-host, John McMullen. Johnny Mac, how you feeling on this Football Friday, the first week of free agency? A busy one at that. How are we making a little bit of moves? How you feeling, Johnny Mac, on this Friday morning?
Yeah, still busy. A delayed start. I think that okey-doked everybody, but now you have players coming in left and right. So, yeah. You know, might be the Temu offseason. I'm thinking about deeming it, but still
God, a bunch of, you're calling this the Temu offseason?
The Temu or Temu? I don't Temu, know. I'm sorry, Temu. I shouldn't do that because, you know, with potential sponsor, but clearance aisle off season. So, but still a lot of players coming in. I mean, if you think about it, they've signed 4 players over the past 2 days, plus the 2 trade pickups. It's a lot of players.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, in that first wave. Unfortunately, the players that came in aren't as good as the players that left. But we knew that was coming. Well, you should have knew it was coming because Howie laid every breadcrumb he possibly could to that end game. And that's where we are, and we'll see how it shakes out. A lot of young players, they want to step up, but creating competition, draft-proofing the roster, that part of it hasn't changed for Howie Roseman.
Good stuff there. Johnny Mac mentioned the players that have come in. You're looking at trades, all right? You traded for Kenyon Green. Remember, he was a part of the C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade. Traded for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That was your return for Kenny Pickett. And there were some draft picks involved in these. I'm just giving you guys the players right now. A.J. Dillon was signed yesterday. Joshua Uche, or 2 days ago for Dillon. Joshua Uche yesterday. And then you had Harrison Bryant and Adoree Jackson. I don't necessarily disagree with Johnny Mac, but I don't know if Temu is necessarily a glowing endorsement of the guys we picked up. But Johnny Mac, here we are now, Friday, March 14th, man, and all of a sudden, this football team looks a lot different than it did the Super Bowl champion defense that shut down Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. A lot different right now, man. This looks a lot different, and I'm not saying the moves weren't right or necessary, but look, the reality is you did just have a number one overall defense that shut down Patrick Mahomes, and boy, that thing looks a lot different today. What are your thoughts as we kind of recap this week here? I'm sure we'll have more moves to cover today probably, but just want to give a little Friday recap for everybody on what they were able to do this week or lack of what they did.
Well, for the people that were hoping for another splashy offseason, I mean, I guess it's a disappointment, but I think for those, you know, who thought that way, they weren't well in tune of what was going on. So I think the people who understood a little bit that, it, you know, and heard how we call it a maintenance offseason, were better prepared for what went on. I am a little surprised that the signings over the past 2 days didn't resonate a little bit more, because when you get new players, generally people want to be optimistic and you know, point out the upside of it. But I haven't seen a lot of that. So I think, you know, everyone's well aware of what they are. And, you know, if everything goes perfectly, they'll all be backups at best.
Right.
But you need backups and you need competent backups and you need guys to push young players. So that part of it makes sense. But, yeah, anytime you lose players like Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, Darius Slay, and on the defense that was just number one in the NFL and just dominated in the Super Bowl a month ago. Mm-hmm. I think for those who don't understand the business side of it all, it's like, just run it back. Well, they would have liked to run it back, but they can't run it back. So got to make difficult decisions.
Yep, no doubt about it. Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. We'll see what they end up doing here today or what they continue to do. The one thing I was saying to somebody who was like, you know, Adoree Jackson's not moving me. Josh Uche's not moving me. I'm like, they don't really have to move you. I think also the other thing that I think is worth talking about is this isn't even the 53, right? Like, you have to get 90 names going into the summer, and then you cut it down to 71, and then you cut it down to 53.
There's no more intermittent, real quick. It's just 90 to 53, one big fell swoop.
Oh, right, 90 to 53. But either way, you don't go to camp with just 53 names. So, like, you might not even be talking about backups right now. You might be talking about camp bodies. You might be talking about guys that are given competition, and most of them are veteran minimum. So I don't think there's any need to react too much one way or the other, but they're filling out the middle of the back of the roster. And I don't necessarily dislike who they've signed. No game changers, I don't think, but I think I like the upside of Kenyon Green, first round draft pick. What can Jeff Stoutland do? Josh Uche, I think, has decent upside for $1 million signing. And Adoree Jackson, I think, has a chance to be cornerback number two. We'll see.
Adoree's definitely the best, I would say, of the signings. I kind of put them in two camps. The trade guys, they're going to be here. I don't know if they're going to be successful, but they're going to be here. Kenyon Green and Dorian Thompson-Robinson are going to be here. The one-year contract guys, I mean, they might end up like Zach Bond. Doubt it. They might end up like Devin White.
Right.
Doubt it. They'll probably all end up on the team. With the exception of, I don't know about A.J. Dillon, just from a health standpoint. So that concerns me a little bit. But if he's healthy, he's going to be on the team, I would assume. Any other guys are, at worst, probably going to be backups. But for all of them, if there's issues in camp, you know, they can just move on. Whether they're injury issues. Think about Oren Burks last year. A lot of people don't remember. He got cut because he was hurt. He missed most of the first couple weeks of camp. And the Eagles just cut him and said, well, if we can get him back, we'll get him back. And they were able to do, and the rest is history. Same thing could happen with these guys. So, very low risk deals. And then you talk about the rewards. I think if you're looking at the ceiling, I think the highest would be Jackson. I think Uche would be two. I think Dillon would be three from a ceiling perspective. And then Bryant would be four. Who's just, to me, Bryant's the one who's just, all right, that's a backup, you know. And they need help at tight end. Right. They've had very little depth at tight end. But to me, he's a backup player.
Yeah, he's not a starter player. Let's run through each of them, Johnny Mac. We already mentioned Kenyon, but I do want to talk about the guys they signed. Let's go to Josh Uche first. I know his snaps were somewhat limited, but like, I do like the 11.5. I know it was only 1 year, but does that show you the kind of upside he has? And then I had someone reach out, oh, it sounds like Bryce Huff. He won, 11.5 sacks and 38% of the snaps. I'm like, wow, Bryce Huff cost $18 million.
There's a big difference.
For $1 million player, I like that upside. And the other thing I like about him is I think he's a little bit more athletic than Bryce Huff, where he's got a little bit more speed. And I think Vic Fangio, at least from what I've seen, has worked well with guys who have those athletic traits. Now, I might be off base, but that's how I see it. What do you think specifically of the Josh Uche signing, and what do you think he can be for this team this year?
I think it's a worthwhile lottery ticket, but he hasn't produced. For the players that want to make the Bryce conversation, want to make the Bryce comparison, I mean, again, the Eagles weren't the only team going after Bryce Huff last season. He was a disappointment, but there are a number of teams looking to give him big time money.
That's why he got $18 million. There was a bidding war.
there was about four or five teams in on Bryce Huff. So you know, big difference from a perspective of how the league evaluates the player, not just the Eagles. Now, if you're coming off 2022, we might be having a different conversation, but, you know, he hasn't produced. And there was excitement last year in New England because he was going to be the number one when the Eagles were up there. He was going to be the number one pass rusher, but he was unhappy and,
right.
You know, wanted out, and rightfully so, considering what that team turned into. And ultimately, they did trade him at that closer to the trade deadline to Kansas City for a 6th-round pick, and he barely played in Kansas City. He didn't play in the Super Bowl. So, you know, then you're back out there in 1-year deal. You have these visions of being Bryce Huff after that 11.5 sack year. But the reality is the league now looks at him and says, all right, well. And the Eagles took a shot. Is it a worthwhile shot because they need bodies at the edge position? I think so. You know, I was talking about Azeez Ojulari. You know, that's my personal preference, but I can't say there's much difference. And if this is the Eagles' personal preference, all right, bring the body in, see what he can do. Make sure you have that competition for Jalix Hunt. They're going to add somebody else in the draft. I almost guarantee it. Who, you know, might make him expendable if you think about it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a solid signing, but it's not. You know, I wouldn't hold my breath and expect 11.5 sacks.
Yeah. Right. Right. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
And that's how I describe all these things. If everything goes to plan, with the exception of Dylan, because there's so much uncertainty around Dylan, right. If everything goes to plan, they want the young players on the field.
Including, I think, yeah, right. Like you said, with Shipley, with Jalix Hunt, with Sidney Brown, with all these guys. So we'll see if they do get out there. I do want to ask you about Adoree Jackson, John. You've mentioned him as you think your favorite or your the highest upside of the bunch. I wonder why his market wasn't a little bigger. Like, what? Why did he fall off so much? Because he got that big contract a couple of years ago in New York, and he was drafted, I believe, by the Titans. This is the guy the Eagles were interested in.
Now, yeah, first round pick. They liked him way back in the 2017 draft. They wanted him in free agency, which would have been Nick Sirianni's first year, 2021. And the Giants gave him the big offer. So they've long had it. That's sort of a theme with the Eagles. They had interest in Kenyon Green in the draft, Dorian Thompson Robinson in the draft. They had interest and Adoree Jackson a number of times over the years. So that seems to be something that always sticks with the Eagles. Kenny Pickett, they liked in the draft coming out before they acquired him. So that's sort of a theme with the Eagles. Haven't heard with Dylan. I advocated they should sign him a couple years ago before the injury.
Yeah,
but I haven't heard the Eagles' interest until now. Uche, I thought they might have interest last year because of the injuries at the edge. Nothing ever developed. And Harrison Bryant, I haven't heard anything about. So, but it's been a theme that the Eagles have this prior history. You know, Green and Thompson Robinson were here on top 30 visits. I mean, they already met the organization. Right. They're already well-versed. Somewhat in understanding, but and Jackson's a guy, like I said, multiple times they thought about this particular player. Now he's 30 years old now, or he's going to be 30 years old. He's played 8 seasons. So, you know, he's played, if you want to count the playoffs, which he's, by the way, he's got some.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Significant experience in the playoffs because he was on Tennessee when Tennessee was good. He's on the one Giants team that made the playoffs. So, you know, it's a different guy than when he's 22. Nobody's trying to say that. And I think part of the concern is from the league's perspective, not only that age, but he was on a bad team and he didn't start on a bad team anymore. Now, a lot of that is, you know, they drafted a couple years ago, they drafted Deontay Banks in the first round. So you want to get that guy on the field.
Right.
And by the way, I thought he was going to be a really good player. Hasn't developed yet. It might still develop. You know, people like to bail on those things. But guys want their first round picks on the field. So, I mean, that's part of it. I assume that the play has descended somewhat. That's part of it. But yeah, I mean, for where the Eagles are, I think this is the most valuable of the Tamu signings. I do.
The nickname for the Eagles offseason right now, shopping and clearance, baby. John, how much of this is Vic Fangio fueled? Because like specifically, obviously, the defensive signings, like how much say do you think a guy like that has? Because I had one guy reach out and he's like, well, look, if Vic Fangio wants him in the room, you know, I trust Vic. And I'm like, well, I would agree with that. If Vic says he likes a guy or likes a player, I'm in on that. But I'm not so sure, and I was going to talk to you about it, how much Vic does have, or if any, maybe how he sends him a couple names and says, hey, I like some of these guys. Anybody stick out to you? How does that go inside the locker room or inside the organization?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do think people overblow that to a significant degree. Howie's gotten very smart over the years. He's learned a lot. That's part of the, his ability as a GM that maybe some of the younger guys don't have. If you're getting a bunch of guys that the coordinators or the head coach don't want, it's not going to do you much good. So you want to bring them in the process, but Howie makes the decisions. Like, does anybody think that Vic Fangio didn't want Milton Williams in the room? He did.
Right. That's the business side getting in the way.
Yeah. Now, Howie wants him in the room, too, if he's playing on the final year of his rookie deal. Now he's making $26 million. You see the difference? So you can't just leave it up to Vic and say, oh, I want Milton back. I need Josh back. You know, you got to make tough decisions.
Right. Well, those decisions are bigger. How about like a decision like we just talked about the edge, right? Where they signed Joshua Uche. You liked Azeez Ojulari. Ojulari's still on the market, so my guess would be he's not going to get huge money. Like in an instance like that, do you think there's like a preference question where it's like, Vic, we're looking at these two edges. You know, do you like one more than the other? And then that might.
It's not like Vic is surprised and all of a sudden it drops in. Hey, we got Josh Uche.
Yeah, right.
You know, no, he's brought in on everything. But, you know, I do think the assemblance of Vic wants him, you got to give him to him. It doesn't work like that. It hasn't worked. It, you know, doesn't work like that with any coach, with any coordinator. And again, as you go lower, probably he has the ability to have more impact because if it is Josh Uche versus Azeez Ojulari and he says, I prefer Uche, they probably go Uche. You know, why not?
Right.
So as you go lower on the totem pole, but, you know, even because Milton and Josh were so expensive, look at Slay on defense. Gainwell on offense, you know, if they ask the coaches, they want them back. They're not back. You got to make difficult decisions. And what is it? Heavy is the weight of the crown. Those are Howie decisions.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, yeah. Johnny Mac. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, I saw Kenny's contract and I'm like, what? You can't bring him back at that number?
No, I saw that too. I was blown away. It's like $2 million, wasn't it?
Even I saw less than that. But again,
yeah, it was like less than $1 million guaranteed, I think.
Yeah. It's like 600 and some thousand guaranteed. You know, Slay, $10 million. You can't muster up $10 million.
Well, 650 is a lot better, a lot more.
He's got a much bigger role, you know. And I know what Vic thinks of Slay. But you know, those are they made the decision. You know, here's the problem when you talk about rookie players, because everybody talks about this. You want to get guys on cost-effective rookie deals, which is true, 100%. 32 teams think that way. But what's the value if they're not playing on the field? You know. And then if you're talking about Kaylee Ringo, this is year three. Only got one more year after this. And then you either got to pay him, you got to cut him loose if he turns into a player. What if you put it off to year four, he plays well, and then you got to make a decision after one good year. I got to pay him $25 million. You know, you want to get these guys out on the field as quickly as possible. And that's not always possible, like Quinion and Cooper last year, because most guys need a little bit more of a ramp-up period. But you see, you know, the best indication, that's what's going on in Minnesota now with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's talking about Aaron's waiting around because he wants to go to Minnesota. So Minnesota's having those discussions on, they got a Super Bowl roster, Super Bowl level roster. They really think they're going to Super Bowl with J.J. McCarthy, who's never played a snap of football? Now, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl with J.J. McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers. And I love Aaron Rodgers, as people know, but he's 40, whatever. You know, he's not the same guy. So, but that's the discussions they're having.
Right.
It's great to say you want the cost-effective guy on the field, but if he's not ready to play, he's not ready to play. So it's a very difficult thing to traverse, and it's what the Eagles are trying to do this year.
Yeah, one of the things I like that you talked about, John, yesterday was the draft proofing of the roster, and I don't think any of these signings will preclude them from drafting a certain position, but it does at least give you more lenience, I guess you could say. Like for example, if they're at 32 and they really like a defensive tackle or a defensive edge, they're going to be able to take their pick versus if they don't get Josh Uche's and guys like that, they might feel like they have to get an edge there, if that makes sense. So I do like it from that perspective too. You draft proof a little bit, give yourself a little bit more options, a little bit more ability to go to freelance in the draft and take the player you like or the best player available or whatever it is. So I do think that was a part of the strategy here as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's not new. The Eagles do that every year, basically. Yeah. It's just part of their process. And, you know, that is sort of to help you be disciplined, because sometimes it's hard to be disciplined and say, if you're looking at your roster and there's a big hole and there's an obvious hole,
right,
and there's an obvious need. So you want to have at least competency or at least potential competency at every position. So when you hit draft day, you don't have to say, even if it's day three, I got to get a tight end, I got to get a running back, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to be in that position, because you're more likely to miss out on a player you like at a position where you may not need as much help. So
and you're desperate. You don't make good moves and you're desperate.
Yeah. So, and they've been doing that for years, and that's just part of their process. And they're doing it again. And it's a smart way to do business. I will say that.
Yeah. Good stuff there, John. Speaking of the draft, did any of the things that I know they said we won't change it, that's what they're doing, but did any of these signings change where you think they're going in round one? I think it's D-line round one and two, John, because the defensive line in this draft is deep. It seems to be the deepest position in the draft. I feel like the Eagles are, they're going to, I mean, if you're telling me that, I think they're going to take and you lost two defensive linemen this year, really three defensive linemen this year. I think they're taking defensive linemen 1-2. Did this change your draft outlook for the Eagles at all?
No, but the draft has to do with odds, and that's why I'm on the defensive front because of the reasons you say. It's, you know, when you're picking 32, you're at the mercy of the 31 in front of you, unless you move up a couple spots. So you don't know what they're going to do. You try to get as plugged in as you want. So, you know, the Eagles, I've explained, generally go about it. They have a cluster of players they're comfortable with at a certain position. And if they're gone, they might try to move up, as happened with Devontae Smith. Four of the five were gone, and they seized the moment, went up to get them. Sometimes you can't get up. And if you can't get up and your cluster's gone, then you try to trade down. And the worst position to be in is you none of the players you like are there. You don't feel there's value at that particular position. You want to trade down and nobody wants to trade up. And then you have to take somebody in your next tier. But the Eagles have that all prepared as well. Some teams panic. New York Giants, Devontae Smith. They didn't get him. They went, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Let's trade down. Let's get Kadarius Toney. Houston Texans wanted Andre Dillard. Now, didn't work out, but yeah. Eagles jumped up to get him. They panicked. They just took the next tackle on the board. I forget his name, but it wasn't good. Yeah. So, you know, the draft is about, it's about the moment. It's about the players. It's about who's left on the board. And by that estimation, because of the depth on the defensive front and the Eagles need bodies there, you would think that there'd be somebody they'd like at that position. But there could be a bubble. There could be a bunch of guys they like and then a little bit of bubble and then guys they think should go in the third round. And that could shift gears. So you're just trying to play the odds when you're predicting draft and which way they'll go at certain positions.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing there, Johnny Mac. All right, Don, we recap most of what they did this week. John called it the Temu rack. Boy, John, I don't know. I'm not a Temu shopper, so I think that's a pretty – I don't think that's a very glowing endorsement.
Some good deals.
Yeah.
I've never bought anything.
I've never bought anything.
But that's the thing. People say the Temu version of blah, blah, blah.
Is your wife a Temu shopper?
No, I don't think we've ever had a
– No, we've Temu never had purchase. Any Temu. Yeah, no Temu purchases.
It's a big Amazon purchaser.
Oh, my God. Everybody is. I mean, every day there's Amazon packages showing up all over the place. It's crazy. But, no, good stuff, Johnny Mac. All right, John, we'll get to our first commercial break. Coming up later, we'll talk about all these moves. We'll talk about the draft a little bit more. We'll talk about guys that are still out there, what Howie could do from here. And then we'll just have a look at the whole overall philosophy of the offseason. Is this patchwork, necessary business? Does it look like you thought it would look? Are you still confident this team can compete for a Super Bowl next year, or are they setting up for 2026? I don't think they are, but I've heard that put out there a couple of times. So we'll talk about all those things. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you guys about the great people at BetUS. Go and check them out. You can see the promo code I put on your screen. It's YouTube150. Gives you 150% sign-up bonus on your very first deposit. You get 125% on your second and third deposit, all up to $2,000. So deposit less and bet with more at BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring the show today. We'll be right back on Birds 365 in 3 minutes.